The radio station that makes you feel good all the time.
Whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about
my career.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
I don't feel no ways tired.
Now watch this drive.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, somebody KTDH, Brian Suits here. And if you watched TV yesterday, you pretty much heard, here we go. Trial of the century and the rest, and it went something like this.
Here we go. It's on. It's happening. History will be made.
Shaping up to be the trial of the century.
Maybe the trial of the century.
The trial of the century.
But just might be the trial of the...
Is it even close?
Is that Trump in a white Ford Bronco?
Isn't that crazy? That with OJ croaking just a few days ago... Sorry, I mean, besides the fact that, yeah, the first time ever, an American president in a criminal trial.
I guess it is a new century, so we could use that label again.
Yeah, I suppose. But the 20th century had, I think, five separate trials of the century. The Lindbergh trial was a trial of the century.
Nuremberg?
The Nuremberg was a trial of the century. And then it kicked off with the Fatty Arbuckle trial of the century. He was a silent film star, comedian, very large man who perforated a woman's spleen while assaulting her. And he went on trial for that.
She died.
And no one remembers any of those people. Yeah, spoiler, she died.
Century. The tax man is here, Donald Trump.
He will finally be forced to face the music.
The legal...
So anyway, all the hyperbole that you care to hear. So, forgot to talk about this. You know, my friend Mike, the former Special Forces guy, career Army Special Forces guy, and a guy trained and experienced in interoperating in some of the most dense urban environments in the world, from your Hong Kong to your Baghdad. He did a situational awareness, a Special Forces sort of a modified instruction presentation on Saturday that I went to, and met many, many, many AM770 KTTH listeners.
Oh, nice.
And I got a very specific suggestion slash in the form of a complaint from a guy that when I cite a book or whatever, I need to tweet out like a link to it because people aren't like sprinting for pens and stuff because they're driving. But I met many, many complimentary friends, fans, and that was one suggestion was when you guys are going back and forth, and I said, witty banter or folksy anecdotes? And he said, either one, but slow down when you cite a book, you know, tell me on the continuum how red hot of a fire is that? A poker in the fire is that one? And he gave me some specific examples, and I said, thank you, sir. And
what did the KTTH listener base, how did they come across to you in general? Nice people?
Very nice. As always, just like at the
Scoundrels.
The Freedom Series that we did that the lovely Jeanette so ably organized. It was like that, but they were there for Mike and they were there for the situational awareness mindset, and it was very valuable.
And some I assume are good people.
And there was some great specific advice. We're talking about interacting in the summer with those chaps with the leather jackets, for instance. And Mike was telling an anecdote about how there were some guys who may look like they had a fleeting familiarity with the law. And if you've ever seen that 1% patch, you ever seen, you know, whatever, Mongols or Hell's Angels, whatever, in that diamond shape, that white 1% patch?
I'm following.
Have you seen that? That's a rank.
Mm-hmm.
And they self-police. There's no stolen valor in the Mongols. You don't put on you don't get a human tear tattoo next to your face if you didn't really kill someone. You don't fake that. And so if they're wearing a 1% patch, it means that they're in the top tier of violence in their gang, and they're being saluted for it. And it comes from, I want to say, there was some small town California police chief in the 50s who told Life magazine, because they were doing because back then, you know, there was the Marlon Brando movie and all that. All these Fonzarellis with their leather jackets, and that they were thugs and the whole thing. And famously, some police chief in California said, look, 99% of them are just enthusiasts of the motorcycle. They're just good guys. It's the other 1%. And so that's the origin of that. But if you're wearing that, it means that you've earned it, and they will check your resume. And so when you see that on someone and they're wearing that in the open, take that seriously and the whole thing. And they have warrants. Cops don't like pulling them over because they have warrants and they have guns. And all that. But anyway, a fun time. Really, really fun time.
So you're doing karate moves and all that kind of stuff?
No. It really was about walking out of a parking lot, walking into a parking lot, walking into a Mariners game. It was about observing your surroundings and taking away clues from that to enhance your safety, such as your special forces guys, such as are trained to do. Because
okay, but if you ever get in a hairy situation like the ones you just mentioned, always default to the crane kick.
Sweep the knee.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg. What do you do? So it's interesting because it does have direct applications in Seattle, interoperating with your various drug addicts that are openly consuming drugs, whether it's Grants Pass or Seattle or Boise or whatever. And you just have to keep in mind that you're part of an ecosystem and you should know it better. Like, you know, you're not the grizzly that they introduced or whatever. And then we did hear over the weekend that the Ukraine arms deal was the $61 billion was granted. And it is leaking out that more American advisors will be on the ground in Kyiv. That's not supposed to leak out. No one was supposed to know. It's been over a year now. There's a pretty significant American presence on the ground. And it just takes cocktail hour at the Kyiv Doubletree, and you'll figure that out. Or go into the Kyiv embassy and for a replacement passport, and you'll figure out that there's a lot of physically fit, short-haired people, or in many cases, long-haired with beards, using first names like Chad and Sven and Biff and Sexy Shrek and all that. And so... That's just how that works, and should not be a surprise. Also, know that your career security in Putin's FSB's foreign service, the SVR, it is made based on you capturing or killing an American serviceman in civilian clothes, and so they're kept far away from the pew-pew front area. In fact, there's a sub company of Hertz called Sixt, S-I-X-T.
I believe you.
So the largest car renter in the Europe. so I've heard of someone who picked up his rental car, his or her rental car, when they arrived for their TDY in Kyiv. And even though there's supposed to be just baseline instructors, death by PowerPoint, look up here to my whiteboard and all that, but you're not any good at the job, and they know you're not, if you don't get in your rental car and actually get as close as you can to where you can hear the boom boom or the pew pew and sort of see the terrain. But the problem is that in this day and age, what's happening is you get a text that says you are too close to the forward edge of the battle area, the FIBA. Turn around immediately or we'll disable your car. Because exactly what you want when, you know, Russian tanks are coming down the road or whatever is a disabled car. And so it's actually saying, you know, that your insurance doesn't cover this. We're going to electronically by satellite disable the car and then come pick it up. And they hire flatbed drivers in Ukrainian flatbed drivers in Kyiv to come to the roadside where you're there trying to start the car, but it won't start because you took the car too far forward to the war area. And so anyway, these are the kind of stories that that one hears. And then I didn't know the per diem in Tel Aviv is crazy. It's like $180 per diem. And the preferred hotel is also the preferred hotel for NATO. And the NATO buffet is up on like the eighth floor. And apparently if your card key is unlocked for 8, you have this astounding buffet in front of you, awaiting you, if you can get up there. So what's not to like is what many would say. So now the story I didn't want to read. Please don't go there. Here's what I don't want. That there's death or rash or something. Dr. Cora Brunner, in an interview with Channel 7, with not affiliated with us, Cairo, said, quote, "I hesitate to recommend it at all." It's about the use of melatonin, a popular sleep aid for adults and adolescents. Dr. Brunner, who sounds like a quack, further explained that melatonin is, quote, "a neurohormone." So, well, a little English. And it's a crucial substance that our brain naturally produces. So there you go. What's the problem? Channel 7 has learned that the more melatonin consumed periodically, the less our brains produce it. The more it shuts off. It's a feedback mechanism. Recent findings from a, are you ready? CDC study published just last month. They are scientists, I'll say that, have raised the most serious concerns. The study revealed that between 2019 and 2022, almost 11,000 infants and children were rushed to the emergency room after consuming melatonin supplements without supervision. You know why? Because they're gummies. There. If you put anything in a gummy, a kid will eat it. Don't make gummies. Make gummies out of broccoli or carrots or whatever. They will eat them. So anyway, she has over 20 years of experience in the medical field. She specializes in pediatric and adolescent medicine, passionate about educating parents about the supplement industry. Okay. Well, all right. I got medical advice, and the medical advice was, so far working out, it was get off the melatonin several nights a week, and that would be Friday and Saturday, and then get back on, take one 500 milligram gummy on Sunday night. And I got to tell you, it's worked out for me. my problem with Dr. Brunner, Dr. Cora, is that I don't know what the symptom is that I sleep like a baby. I sleep like a baby at 7 and I'm up at 1, feeling like I like Rip Van Winkle or something. I got to say, I really am hesitant about letting the kid because a kid should go out like a light until they're, what, 16 or 17?
Sure.
I'd say when you're single digits, you should be burning off enough energy that when it is Betty Bye time, you should just go down like a puppy on that. And then it's not until you're, a deep, heavy teenager that you get to text your friends at 9 p.m. and all that. Channel 7 has learned that the more melatonin consumed periodically, the less our brains produce it. And that's my understanding. I know that. I'm forearmed with that. I'm interested in supplements, specifically melatonin, to ensure that what we do and put into our children, young adults and teenagers is safe. Well, we share that, Dr. Brunner. But so anyway, I was told that there is a responsible way for kids. If your kid is not sleeping well, see a doctor. Number one, see a doctor. Go see a pediatrician. Tell them what that issue is, because bad sleep leads to bad attention span in the classroom, and the whole deal. It also leads to bad work and bad joining of 777 parts and the entire thing, which you wind up doing what I call Tarzan assembly. Here's the whistleblower talking about 777, and you, all you bad sleeping Boeing workers, making 777s by jumping on them.
On the 777 program, I found problems. Again, I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align. I call it the Tarzan effect.
Well, there you go. Now it's even affecting Boeing. Anyway, just know that that's on the radar. And I would say, if you have not consulted with your pediatrician and you're just popping melatonin gummies in front of your kid, maybe bounce it off them. I mean, I absolutely understand that. And granted, tryptophan occurs naturally. On 4th of July, the dogs get a big piece of turkey breast raw, and they do what they will, and and stuff. I would have no problem giving turkey to the kid. This is going to be a big week of black bean chili at Brian's house. And you know why? Because the wiffle ball diamond is in effect. It's what a beautiful weekend.
Nothing better.
Yeah. And I mean, do that. Do some running around that. So full contact wiffle ball is going to be happening. Trying to come up with a clever kind of dirty name.
I mean, of course.
But the thing is, though, my friends all have kids, and we've agreed. What's really funny is telling adult men that there's going to be that wiffle ball will be in effect gets men really excited. And that Tom Hutler, if I can get a list of names, Tom Hutler will, if we keep you at the number four spot, Tom Hutler will say, now betting number four, sexy Shrek or whatever. It'll be cool, and we'll keep it all on the down low.
How about the Swifty Sluggers, a Taylor Swift reference?
The one name that I want to replicate from softball league at such as the Wazoo. I don't want to say on the air because I would hear about it. Somebody would complain.
Put it into ChatGPT and it'll come up with something good.
But very exciting, and I am the buying of the books. I got to say, with all due respect to Jeff Bezos, 1997. I thought of buying books too. He just did it better. But this book called The Algebra of Wealth by Scott Galloway, a professor of economics from New York University. He had many, many eye popping things that we don't say out loud today on a morning show. And because he's talking about in the American system, when you say the system doesn't work, and now the housing is all for investment and finance and crap, like they said on the U.S. Federal court steps yesterday here in Seattle, he was discussing how an economy needs to grow, and the economy and the civilization needs for people to meet and have the babies. And he said several things that were pretty groundbreaking enough to where if this guy wrote the book, I want to read his book because I think he hit it out of the park with a couple of things. Here's some of him hitting it. And I don't mean my easy to hit it out of the park wiffle ball diamond. I mean the diamond of life.
So we have an entire generation, especially of young men, who are out home sequestering from society and missing out on what it means, you know. There's a reason romantic comedies are 2 hours and not 15 minutes. True victory in life is hard. Going out, meeting someone, finding mentors, finding mates, that stuff is hard, but that's what real victory in real life is like. And because a lot of men feel rejected on dating apps, the number of jobs that are accessible to them has gone down. You have essentially a group of men who are saying, I want a low risk entry into life. And they go down a rabbit hole. When they don't have social connections, they don't get out and they don't have the prospect of a romantic relationship, they're more prone to conspiracy theory, they're more prone to misogynistic content, they're less likely to believe in climate change, and some become really bad citizens. We are producing too many of the most dangerous person in the world, and that is a young, broke, and lonely young man.
Why? Absolutely. Yeah, and I can't believe the guy is on a college campus in 2024. And he's pushing back against these Gaza zombies pretty hard. And I'll play that here in a little bit. But I mean, he's absolutely right. Because my one nephew from South Africa is up here to attend Texas A&M. And he's currently working at a shipyard on lovely Whidbey Island. And his sister was a year ahead, and she would go to a gym, and she found young American men unapproachable. They would not approach her, and she toweled off her equipment, you know, and waited there for the guy, and the guy wouldn't say, okay, thanks. How many miles do you do? Or whatever. Anything. If you saw a pretty girl in a gym, you'd say, I'll put that back. Oh, no, leave that there. Whatever. You know, you'd find a reason to chat her up, and that no one does that. And it's got to be a reflex that's learned. And like he said, I mean, if he's on a college campus, and I think a lot of it is are rules that are superimposed when young men are 15 and 16 and 17, and that the overcompensation for Me Too is don't ever talk to a woman because somewhere, somehow, without even knowing it, you're going to offend her deeply. I think that's a huge part of it.
It's a very complex issue, but that's absolutely a part of it. And I think also...
relying on apps. That's the other thing. And instead of like going out and dancing or meeting someone and saying, oh, yeah, my club name is Raven Quest or whatever.
Two things we're really good at teaching kids about in the modern age is careerism and entertainment in terms of smartphones in every kid's hands, which is deeply unfortunate. Just read Jonathan Haidt's new book, The Anxious Generation, which should be required reading.
No, read Algebra of Math by Scott Galloway.
Scott Galloway's new book. No, exactly right. And other sources as well. But get kids mingling with the opposite sex at an early age. Teach them that it's normal. It's great. In fact, a life of singleness can be very fulfilling and satisfying, no doubt about it.
But it's embittering.
And that's not for everybody. For the vast majority of people, they want to be involved in their heart of hearts in a romantic relationship. But again, you got to teach this stuff early on in kids' lives and stop focusing so much just on career and consumerism, which again, we've mastered apparently, but we're neglecting a very important part of human relationships.
Yeah.
Which is
and I mean, it's
settling down in a covenant relationship and procreating.
So a muscle that's atrophied pretty severely on me, and I've recently needed to rediscover it. And I was struck Sunday, right before I got the text message that said, your kid's bus is not going to be picking anybody up on Monday morning, I was on a beautiful deck looking at the Tacoma Narrows Bridge at a place called Boathouse 19 with a beautiful woman that I met organically, not with an app or anything like that, not through wiffle ball either. And we were getting to know each other. And it was just, so remarkably human. And I can't believe, and I remember there was a time, there used to be a restaurant in the South Lake Union called Kachina Kachina. Great place.
I used to frequent that place, yeah.
And right out of college, that was the place because who you wanted to meet was there. And it was kind of balls in your court to meet the person you want to meet. And so it's, but I was, as I was looking around, I mean, I get it. It's a Sunday, it's not a Saturday. But it was all families and all that, and I wasn't seeing what he's describing.
Like courtship going on?
Yeah. Crazy. So is our homes human rights? There's people that believe that they are, such as these people here. They were rallying on the steps of the federal court building yesterday in Seattle, and
housing is a
yes. There are people that believe that housing is a human right, and apparently so is food, and so is a gold Bentley or something. Anyway, we'll dissect this in just a second, and we'll do a checking of your texting here during the break. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. We will curate forthwith back with that in just a second. AM 770 KTTH.
Everywhere, like such as.
KTTH, Brian says here, some very specific questions and some total crap that would involve my accidental use of the reply all button.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know the one where people send it to the what we call the global, the everybody in the building?
Right, right.
Well, why? You send it to everybody, and I hit reply, and I defaults to back to reply all.
Whoopsie-daisy.
Not the intention.
Did you tell an unfortunate joke? that should have gone to one person and then deleted forever?
I said something about commies, about...
You are a murderer of love!
I totally murdered love. Anyway, Brian and producer Greg, I say commie too often these last few years. Real communists right here in Seattle and King County. Thanks, respect. Oh, you'll hear from them here in just a second. Speaking of commies, how about Canada? Here's a bad scene. Sorry about the bad scene at 8:30 in the morning, but your kids are in school, right?
Yes, they are.
Canadian family receives wrong body after father died on vacation. So not only did dad die, but they got someone else's dead relative in the box.
What's in the box?
Quebec. A family in Quebec is searching for answers after discovering that their father's remains didn't make it to Canada. The paterfamilias didn't make it to Canada from Cuba.
No!
Where he died while on vacation and said received the remains of another man. So listen to this trauma. How do you like this? Faraj Jarjour, only 68. His daughter goes swimming with her dad in the ocean near Veradero, Cuba, during a family vacation on March 22nd when he suddenly had a heart attack and died right there in front of you. There were no medical facilities, so his body was covered and left on a beach in the hot sun for more than 8 hours until a car arrived to take it to Havana, said Faraj, his daughter. After that, it's not clear what happened. She said she followed the directions given to her by the Canadian consulate and paid 10,000 Canadian dollars, which is, I think, about $9, to have the body returned home to the family. And you get what you paid for. You get some tattooed Russian guy in his 20s. The casket that arrived last week contained the body of a Russian man who was 20 years younger than her father. Unlike her father, the body had a full head of hair and tattoos. He got some tattooed Russian. So the stranger's body had been sent to his country, so that's fixed. But she and her family don't know where their father is. So to add insult to injury, that would be hard. That period, when, like, my dad and I, we had the open casket talk. And
where did he come down on the issue?
Well, my mom died in the hospital, in Olympic Memorial Hospital, like many people do in Port Angeles. And a grizzly didn't eat her or anything. And her brother, my Uncle Ray, was coming down from Vancouver with such as his family. And I didn't see the problem. And it's, it's a Western Scottish thing. My girlfriend at the time, who I think was on her ninth PhD, had never seen a dead body. And it's weird to me that you're in your mid-20s and even in a funeral context, you've never seen a dead body. And so my mom's out there and they do a great job. And then again, like I say, she wasn't in a car accident. She had MS and died in the hospital of pneumonia. And then she had a final appointment later that day. And but there was no mix up at the hospital, because that's one of the things is that we were family friends with the county coroner in Clallam County. And there was, I think that like one of the contexts where no autopsies required is dying under a patient, under a doctor's care. But like if you're a government employee, county, city, state, and you die on duty, there's like a mandatory autopsy. And so some people have a real problem with that, with the vivisection on that one. So anyway, so that's the guy saying commie. I do, in fact, do that. Brian Staden, so you are... you're a reply all dude. Well, I'm not. It defaulted to it. I didn't get that. The only justification for a play-by-play of a Trump motorcade is to help some unhinged whack job assassinate him. Are the Democrats really that desperate? Well, why else are they pushing legislation to remove his Secret Service protection? As currently written, it requires a former president to be convicted of a felony, hence the trial of the century makes perfect sense. And when I find that audio, I'll play that again of the way they just breathlessly were doing the motorcade play-by-play. And then some CNN reporter actually said, here he is at the intersection of history, or something. And was pretty proud of herself for that for that turn of phrase. And the final one I'm going to read, I'm not reply all, dude. It's a mistake. And then you don't follow that up by saying that was a mistake. You don't send a follow-up reply all. Where was the guy about the shield?
Are you cold reading these texts?
Well, I just lost one I was reading. I was thinking, Brian, the drones that used to attack infantry guys. Would an old school shield be an answer when the drone comes at you, hold up the shield and block the drone, and any ordnance deployed on it might knock you over, but could work? And it's funny because right now there's a rhinoceros tank that the Russians have deployed where there's thin aluminum roofing that they've welded over the top. And it just looks like World War One or something. But no, these are them putting a block of TNT, like a quarter pound block of Semtex or C4 or TNT on your Costco drone and then hitting you with it and it explodes. And I mean, not just lethal, but astoundingly grim results. And that is what warfare is going to look like for the next 50 years. And except that. What is going to have the countermeasure for that is that it requires a very long range transmission to control it. And it's pretty amazing how a guy can be 3 miles away guiding a first person view drone, chasing a human being down in some empty cornfield and having the control over it. Sometimes it's granted, sometimes it's comical. Guys are running around abandoned tanks, running away from a drone. And then some guy 2 miles away is like in a drone race of death or something. There's a league that actually does drone races, but they don't do them like hide and seek with explosives on them or something.
We have a text in about that new study, which is raising melatonin safety concerns from the 206. J.D. Rockefeller said back in the day about success, go to bed early, wake up early, and find oil. I also believe that, was it Poor Richard's Almanac that said early to bed, early to rise makes a young man healthy, wealthy, and wise?
I got to say, the addition of melatonin has allowed me to minimize it to one 500 milligram gummy because my body now thinks that that's what normal feels like. The thing that I think the big leap forward for me was to not change my sleep schedule for 2 days, for Saturday morning and Sunday morning. Still get up early, get on a book, go for a walk, take the dogs out, you know, and all that. That to me is the big breakthrough. And it's because I was talking to a friend, my new friend over the weekend, that for me, the number one sin for a morning radio guy is to talk ever discuss that they're tired. If you're sick, you know what? You never talk to people that are going to a real job or you jump on 777 wings to make them fit and tell them that you're tired because you're the guy sitting down with a coffee. And that used to annoy the crap out of me. I've been a radio fan all my life.
Okay, well, this topic
And you know who never did that?
Who never did that?
Little guy with a big voice next
door. Someone next door, yeah.
Yeah, he's my model for the Good Morning Guys, Dave Ross.
This topic is serendipitous because just the other day I saw this viral tweet thread about how Navy SEALs fall asleep in like less than 4 minutes. And it had been retweeted like 1,000 times. So I saved a screenshot of it. And maybe we could try it live here on the air. But it's called the 478 method. Do I think it's dubious? Possibly.
Total crap.
Here's right. Okay. But here's what totally. You're supposed to do.
I can debunk that in the next 10 minutes.
Okay. This is apparently why you don't need melatonin or any other sleeping aid like Advil PM. So number one, you breathe in quietly through your nose for 4 seconds. Okay, 4 seconds. Number two, you hold your breath for 7 seconds. Three, then you exhale audibly through your mouth for 8 seconds. And then four, you repeat this for a total of 4 cycles. And it's called the magic of the 4-7-8 ratio. And you think it's just hooey?
There's not a magic Navy SEAL method of sleeping.
Wake up, people!
I'll see if you can call in. Duncan, if you're listening, I'll read your text. I'll read you. But no, they don't teach that at Coronado.
You think we're being trolled by this guy?
The only reason there's a Navy SEAL sleeping method is if a Navy SEAL is starting a sentence with, "In my experience" or "In my training," then you're going to go to sleep real fast.
Snap out of it.
It is funny. I would say if you're at a period in your life where you learn to rely on cat naps, you master that. And I've gone through my specific how to win your nap talk right here on this show. And people have heard it. And there's a couple keys. And I've told friends of mine that work in the service industry. And when I tell them, get home and knock this out while you're still tired, because when you get home, you're going to be re-energized by the phone ringing or whatever. If you want to knock this out and get 15 minutes of your life that like buys you a 2-hour sleep, then do what I say. It might be time. So, all right, it'll be time. So when we come back, how to win your nap right after this. And I highly recommend. I got to say, the one thing the Euros are really correct about is that one thing. But the other thing is the siesta, is shutting down at 2 p.m. Greece, Spain, Portugal, they do that right. Back in the second a.m. Sun Sunday.
People do like it, I must say.
He's heading down the FDR
to the Manhattan Courthouse on Chamber Street.
Arriving at this intersection of American history with defiance.
What? John Stewart put that montage together last night, and he puts this little cherry on top.
Arriving at the intersection of American history with defiance, the brilliant juxtaposing of the gravitas of the moment with simple traffic terms was... He arrived.
So there. So wait, I have to get to this part. Then your nap coaching.
With defiance, the brilliant juxtaposing of the gravitas of the moment with simple traffic terms was... He arrived at the intersection of American history where he put a quarter in the parking meter of destiny.
There you go. And what he's mocking is that there was this unending just monologue by everybody at CNN and MSNBC. They kept, you know what it is, Greg, like in that media montage? It's historic. It's the trial of the century. Well, there's going to be four others this year. So which one of them is the trial of the century or something?
It's happening. History will be made.
Shaping up to be the trial of the century.
Maybe the trial of the century.
The trial of the century.
But just might be the trial of the century.
The tax man is here, Donald Trump.
He will finally be.
Speaking of reply all, what do you think at MSNBC? Did the executive producer put that out? Make sure you work in trial of the century or something. Probably something like that. But So a story I didn't two stories that I want to get to definitely tomorrow. And actually, I got to say, I think a 10th break today is going to be this first one. But rooftop solar panels are so prevalent now in California that it's ruining utilities. It's taking money from them and stuff. And so the grants pass ruling is going to be in June. It may not be as much of a watershed as we think it is. Because one of the points that Sonia Sotomayor pointed out yesterday is that there, as the city attorney of Grants Pass was the one defending it, she revealed that, you know, what what is lacking in your city's ordinances that you can't stop someone from wandering onto I-5 and lighting a bonfire? And she admitted, well, nothing. Something else that's going to fall through the cracks that the Supreme Court is going to hear today is the case of a L.A. man who was denied a green card after marrying a U.S. citizen. He was denied coming back in the country. Luis Cordero was denied a visa to return to the U.S. from El Salvador, and he's been separated from his wife since 2015. Here's the deal. So, El Salvador, remember, if you've been listening for a while, we've been following the cases, the parallel cases of El Salvador, the new president, a new free market libertarian president, and Ecuador. They have one thing in common. They have had it up to here with the homicide rate. And they will sacrifice some liberty for some security. That's how desperate it was in Ecuador and El Salvador. So, what the Salvadoran president, the newly elected president, said 2 years ago in El Salvador was to his army and his national police, for purposes of the next 2 or 3 years, facial tats are your warrant. Your probable cause is their face tat. The murder rate went from the highest in the Western Hemisphere to one of the lowest because all the people doing the murders were wearing the resumes on their faces, which, you know, is a civil right in America, right? You can get whatever tat you want on your face. But if it is your CV, you know, that's what the president of El Salvador said. This is just common sense. We're stupid to ignore this. Well, this guy... And then same thing in Ecuador, by the way. The federal government had violated her constitutional right to marriage and due process by failing to provide a timely explanation for denying her husband a visa. So the case is, has she been denied due process? Years later, they found out that the federal government believed he was an MS-13 gang member based in part on a review of his tattoos. You know why? Yes, you're correct. He's an MS-13 gang member. So Biden administration lawyers have to argue this one. Because Munoz and his bride could choose to live outside the U.S., her right to marriage had not been violated. But she's saying she wanted to marry anyone she wanted and have a guarantee that he would be welcome back into the United States. The High Court will consider whether the refusal of a visa to U.S. citizen's non-citizen spouse impinges upon a constitutionally protected interest of the citizen. Okay, so Audible, Hot Rod, producer Greg, should I do a 10th break on how to nap?
Oh, 100%.
Because I thought I could fit it in here, but that music tells me one thing. That someone has put a quarter in the parking meter of destiny or whatever and stuff. So, all right, so we leave you with this from Scott Galloway. I think this is so far today, from what I've seen, this is the smartest thing that anyone has said on any cable news to any Gaza person who thinks that they're a revolutionary to stop genocide. This is the author, Scott Galloway.
Mexico had elected a jihadist cartel.
He's saying, what do you think we would have done if...
If Mexico had elected a jihadist cartel to run their country and then they incurred into Texas and on a per capita basis killed 35,000 people or the population of the University of Texas, and on the way back took the freshman class at SMU hostage and hid them under tunnels, what would we do? It'd be the great Sonora radioactive parking lot. But Jews are not allowed, and Israel is not allowed to prosecute a war. And they are prosecuting.
So there you go. Maybe tell that to your hippie niece from Evergreen. And then ask yourself, why would you go from Austin up to Dallas on your way back to Mexico? As for SMU is. All right. Well, for the last time, I actually do feel some sympathy for the guy on this one. Alec Baldwin.
Alec, can you please stay free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that?
But he doesn't say lines because it's because he feels right about it. He says it because you pay him.
Lady, you kill that lady and got no jail time. No jail time, Alec.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Won't you please? So 10th break will be How to Win Your Nap later on today. A must-listen 10th break.